give it a couple of seconds to start going.
Okay.
All right.
In the early 80s,
people were asking basic questions.
And as I recognized that, these were not the traditional agencies, because the Girl Scouts doesn't have to ask, how do you establish a checking account for a nonprofit, or what does incorporation mean, and what does 501c3 mean. And so I was able to get a little bit of money to do a seminar just for self-helpers. And I was able to convince my contact at WTAE-TV to publish a directory of self-help groups.
And that contact was?
And it resulted in David Krantz, who was at the station, making the decision that they would go ahead with the publication. But Stu Samuels, who had been my original contact, was convinced to do this because I thought that there were 35 or 40 groups out there and that we ought to let people know that this was a resource. Well, when we got to 95, we just quit.
Is that
and right? Went to press, and WTAE-TV published the first two directories of self-help groups in the community. And Lynn Cullen, who was at that time doing the 6 o'clock news, once a week did what they called a reaching out segment, and either talked generally about self-help groups or spotlighted a particular self-help group. So that was the beginning of my interest in self-help groups. And at the same time, I was very interested in doing consultation on volunteer management. And so when I left the Volunteer Action Center, it had really been my intention to work as a consultant in volunteer management. And the self-help, I was just doing as a volunteer to try and bring some of these people together and see how they could help each other. So I did consultation to a couple of very exciting projects. One was when Kane Hospital moved from one central location in South Hills to its four separate locations, I was involved in helping develop the volunteer programs in each of the we did two centers, but influenced certainly the other two. So that was a very exciting project that I was able to work on. But the self-helpers were so thrilled about coming together that they wanted to meet on a regular basis, and we developed a steering committee. And very often it was a group that met at Pitt because of Barbara's support, or around my dining room table. And they met on a very regular basis, winter and summer. They were very eager to not only let people know that self-help groups were available as a resource, but they also wanted to communicate with professionals and let them know, particularly physicians, to let them know how important it is for communication to take place. Now you have to remember that this is the early 80s, and at that time many physicians and other professionals did not want people talking to each other about their illness, illness or their disability or their concerns, because they felt that they should only come to them as the professionals. And in today's world, it's a little hard to remember that we're talking about only 15 years ago. But this was the situation. As a matter of fact, when I was working with the stroke program, there were some physicians that would not come and speak to the group.
Was there concern that they would lose control? Is that
I think patients, that was very much a part of it. But what was articulated was that they were afraid that people were going to exchange prescriptions, or they were going to tell each other what to do or how to do it. And there was no realization that you do not have to get involved with the medical aspect of any kind of a disability in order to be helpful to each other, because the physician does not help with the day-to-day life of the person. So that the person or the caregiver wants to learn coping skills. How do you manage on a day-to-day basis? What kinds of things do you do? What kinds of resources are out there? And so these are the kinds of supports, both emotional and informational, that self-help groups can provide. I think we've come a long way, but I think part of the reason we've come a long way is that we have the self-help group network in this community, which has helped to publicize and educate a lot of the people in the community. We haven't done nearly enough, but we have done a little. But after a while, I realized that we had to either institutionalize our self-help support system, or I was going to have to quit. I mean, it was taking up a tremendous amount of time. So we applied to the Pittsburgh Foundation, and they gave us a one-year grant. I'm never quite convinced that that was a favor, because in 1 year you cannot establish a social agency. And so what we did was we did get a small storefront office in conjunction with a social agency called Allegheny East Mental Health Center in Wilkinsburg. And we began to publicize the fact that we existed. We incorporated, we did all of the things that you have to do to establish yourself as a nonprofit. And the self-help group network was born. We were in Wilkinsburg until 1990.
When did it start?
1986, we got the grant. And until 1990, we were in Wilkinsburg. And we were then invited to become a part of a health agency coalition. Several agencies received funding from the Vira Hines Foundation to come together and see how, if they are co-located, they could share resources and equipment. And so we were very fortunate to be invited to be a part of that coalition.
Was this coalition county or city?
No, that was only, it's private, and it was funded for 3 years through the Hines Foundation. We have remained together, and subsequently we have maintained 5 organizations. There are 4 chronic diseases and the self-help group network that are together. And we share a copy machine, a storage room, fax machine, and we're all located on one hallway at the Vocational Rehabilitation Center building.
Who are the other 4 groups?
The other groups are the Lupus Foundation, the Intestinal Disease Foundation, the Alzheimer's Association, and the ALS Foundation. And the self-help group network has struggled from day one to raise enough funds to maintain its services because we are not a direct service, we're a linkage. And we make sure that people in the community know that there are self-help groups out there, but we don't provide the AA service, we don't provide the lupus self-help group. We are the linkage. At this point, we have about 600 listings in our database.
It's incredible.
For southwestern Pennsylvania, and people call us to find out where they are because many self-help groups are hidden away in meeting in churches or in libraries or schools, wherever, and are very hard to find because they do not have and do not need to have a business office. And as a result, we're talking about someone's home phone number, which people do not want to put in a public place. So we let groups use our phone number and even our address if that's important to them so that they can maintain anonymity. We take phone calls for groups, and then if someone wants to leave their phone number, they can be called back because we want to protect the confidentiality of as many people as possible.
How many persons do you have in your office?
I volunteer full-time as executive director, and I have 1 full-time administrative assistant, and now with a special project that we're doing with Pittsburgh Foundation funding again, I have a half-time person working on a special project. But in terms of our actual services, it really is dependent on volunteers and especially members of our board because we have a working board. It is not just a policy-making board. Our board members provide seminars and workshops as volunteers. They go to health fairs and distribute literature. They do whatever is necessary to maintain the kinds of services that we feel are important. What we're doing now is looking for some kind of core funding because obviously I can't do this forever, and I really feel that we have to now make the decision about whether the community wants this to be maintained, and we can find some way to do that, or whether we just say we've provided this service for 12 years and it's been wonderful, and we're going to go out of business.
Yeah.
Well, that's the choice. That, I mean, we cannot do it without funding.
I'm just sitting here thinking how lucky this community is to have you as part of it.
Thank you very much.
You mentioned the half person you have on the special projects, half-time person. What's a special project?
We decided that we needed to develop some way to find core funding. And the Pittsburgh Foundation was very generous in supporting this concept because they do believe that what we're doing is important. And so Arlene Stromberg has come on. She is now completing 1 year with me, and her responsibility is to be out in the community, in the business community, to convince the corporate sector, business sector, that what we do is really exceedingly important to their bottom line, that there is no one in the community that at some time is not going to have a problem, either with a teenager or with a caregiving to a parent, in which it will, and that these kinds of responsibilities impact on the kind of productivity that they can provide in their job. If they are concerned about what's going on at home, obviously they are not going to be producing the in the same way that they would otherwise. And so when they can get good information about resources, good information about a particular disease entity or a syndrome, then and emotional support, they can very often cope with their problem in a very different way and can maintain their productivity at work. So what we're hoping is that the business sector will recognize this as an important aspect of all of the new healthcare concerns that everyone has, that we can now demonstrate through beginning research that self-help groups do keep people healthier and they keep them out of the hospitals more, even with physical ailments such as breast cancer. So that we're very hopeful that Arlene's work will come up with some kind of ongoing funding from the business community that will allow me to hire somebody to replace me so that I can volunteer on a part-time basis instead of a full-time basis, because I certainly would want to continue to support what the network is about. I don't know whether you want this on the tape, but I did bring an old directory so that
yes,
you can,
I'd like to include it if I may, yes,
so that you can see what we're talking about in terms of the variety of self-help groups that are out in the community. And then from time to time we do seminars and workshops. This next week we're going to be having a networking an evening of networking, inviting self-helpers to come and meet each other, learn from each other. And one of our board members, Kathy Brochek, who is the assistant to the director of the History and Landmarks Foundation, will be doing a presentation on and being helpful to answer questions about marketing, which is her expertise. And this is the kind of thing that we do from time to time. And then we do fundraisers. JCPenney is having what they call a charity night next week. And they permit us to sell the coupons. And people get the money back by going and shopping that night at JCPenney. In the spring, we're planning a theater night at City Theater with the play Molly Sweeney. So we work at raising funds, but it doesn't, and I write proposals, which is how we got the Pittsburgh Foundation funds. It wasn't just my writing it, I mean, this is a whole group of people. But we do get funds from foundations, we've gotten money from the corporate sector, but there's nothing that's ongoing. And what we need is either a service organization that raises money regularly for something like our network, or, as I mentioned, the corporate sector that's going to be willing to do it on an ongoing basis.
In the self-help groups, I'm pretty sure they're all free of charge, are they not?
Or minimum. I mean, they may
have a free... So there's no money that could come from there?
This is... It's a wonderful question, and is very often one of the ones that funders raise. But the many of the groups have no treasury, raise no money. They may have a free will offering to pay a small amount to a church where they're meeting, or for coffee, or if they do a mailing. It's really very rare for the groups themselves to have any kind of a treasury. So that getting money from them is really very difficult. We do request that they help fund the network, but we really do not have a tremendous number of them. When you think in terms of 600 listings, right, it would make sense. But unless we have a very close working relationship with them, in which we take their calls or something of that sort, it really is very, very hard to get them to recognize this as something that is important to them. Because you have to remember that our primary constituency is not the group. Some of them really don't care whether we refer to them or not. Our primary constituency are those people out in the community who are feeling very alone and who need the support of a self-help group.
But that is a self-help group now. I mean, the people that need it, once they belong to it, it's, I mean, they're the ones that are gaining
from it. Right, but many of them don't even remember how they got there. If you ask, because very often they come to us with a whole list of phone numbers. And if you say something to them, they will say, now, which phone number are you? I mean, they don't even know how they got there. They are people who are troubled, who are feeling overwhelmed with problems, and who very often have just found us in the telephone book. So it's, it really is
marvelous.
A wonderful service.
Wonderful service.
Now, when you say that you're going to have a fundraiser in the spring at the City Theater, that's open to the public.
Oh, all fundraisers are open to the public.
Well, I think something like this is, but it's...
Oh.
You will advertise that?
Yes,
and
yes, absolutely.
Is that the regular show?
This will be a regular show, but what we're doing is taking a dress rehearsal, and then we will have the reception area and do some special things that will... try to enhance it. So that's how I spend my time, and my hope is that, as I said, that in the future we will be able to secure enough funding so that we can have a regular staff. Because Bob and I enjoy traveling extensively. And it's very hard to go away for a couple of weeks and then come back to an overload. We were in Scandinavia this summer and in Arizona in the spring for a bar mitzvah of a grandnephew. We've just returned from a visit to his sister in North Carolina, and to a niece and nephew on that trip in D.C. and Durham. And we have another bar mitzvah coming up in December in D.C. So and this is in addition to my family here in the Pittsburgh area, which I try very hard to stay, not only stay in touch with, but to bring together for the holidays and things of that sort. So it's a very busy life.
How wonderful. I mean, it how is. Really wonderful yes. that is. Aside from your genes, that's why you look so good.
I have good genes.
Betty, you're putting in a full 40 hours?
Some weeks. I've tried very hard to cut back, and I try not to go in on Fridays. So it's usually now is pretty much 4 days a week.
And there is somebody there, though.
Well, now there is. It was just me up until pretty recently. And we were very fortunate in having some support from Representative Itkin, who was able to funnel some funds to us, and that was how we were able to hire the secretarial person. Maintaining it without his funds is more difficult. We also had wonderful support from Kaufman's. They did a benefit fashion show and dinner for us for a number of years, and we were the recipients of the admission charge. They did it twice a year, but unfortunately they've had a change in philosophy and they're not doing it this year, so we are now having a very difficult time and have to find some way to come up with those funds, because that was what kept our secretary, our administrative assistant, funded.
Why do you think corporate Pittsburgh is not backing you? Why do you think they're not coming up with the funds?
Well, I think primarily because they really weren't asked to do it before. But I think that with our new project, my hope is that they are going to respond. We really have been reaching out to all segments of the community that we think benefit more than other segments. For instance, the insurance industry really benefits if we can keep people healthier, so that we feel that that's an area that we have to investigate. But all of the major corporations certainly benefit, as well as the small ones. We have found that many small businesses cannot provide the kind of health support that they would like to for their employees. But through self-help groups, letting them know that these are available when they have problems really can be exceedingly supportive. So it really goes across the spectrum.
Do you have statistics on truly how long or how much less time you spend in the hospital?
We have some beginning research. There really hasn't been a lot of research done on self-help groups, but we do have some that we can share and do share now with when we send material out.
And the doctors are more supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are doctors more supportive now?
Oh yes, there isn't any question. Many physicians are now involved with the self-help groups, particularly where there is an area of their interest in research, so that many of the self-help groups are getting some support from the hospitals, for instance, where some research is going on. All you have to do is look at the breast cancer movement and you can see the tremendous support there is for self-help groups.
Okay.
So, but it's not just physicians, it's all professionals have moved in that direction, because they recognize that self-help groups are not a substitute. They are not challenging the professional, but really are complementary. And many of our phone calls now come from professionals that want to refer their clients to self-help groups. We're very fortunate that in the state of New Jersey, there is a larger clearinghouse. It's statewide. And they do a lot of information related to the national organization. So if we can't refer someone locally, if we don't have a group locally, we can still get them good information and connect them to something on a national level.
Okay. I guess I am afraid it's going to run out now. So I want to thank you again, and perhaps we need to set up another appointment.
Well, how do you feel?